are now tuned in to the Bridge Millennials.
When did you stop believing in Santa Claus, Rob? Do you remember?
Bruh,
what was the year? What was the occasion? When do you stop? Was that a pivotal moment for you?
Yes, it definitely was. So I remember specifically because it was obviously Christmas Eve, right? And every year in Christmas Eve, I had convinced myself that I heard the sleigh come to the house and go on the roof. So this particular year, I was supposed to be sleeping. And now my mother would not put anything under the tree unless me and my sister were sleeping, period. So we knew that if we wanted Christmas to come, we had to sleep. But what she didn't know that I was going to give it a little bit razzle dazzle, right? So I pretended to sleep because I saw her foots under the door. Remember the little light in the hole where you see the feet come in? I saw the foots under the door. Boom.
Y'all was doing the most.
No, it was just me. Tiffany was good. It was just me. So I went out and I looked. I was mad tiptoeing and she had her door open because she was moving stuff. And I saw mad stuff in there. And I was so mad because I was like, bro, now I spoiled my whole Christmas. Like, so now I really can't sleep because I know exactly what I'm getting and what it's in. And I realized like Santa Claus was a joke, man. So that's what happened to me. What about you?
I don't know. I feel like everyone's story about how they stopped believing in Santa Claus, it's ultimately kind of sad. And I see why, like, there are so many movies, like every Christmas movie that is geared towards kids is about believing in Santa Claus and adults ultimately not believing, losing their childhood, you know, stuff like that. So, but anyway, my story is definitely... It's stuck in my brain as a pivotal moment. And I remember wanting an Easy Bake Oven. Do you remember when the Easy Bake Ovens came out?
Hell yeah. My sister had one and it was lit.
Right. And I thought it was pink. I thought it was so cool because it was like, oh shit, I'm going to really be able to bake.
And you can actually eat that shit.
And like, you can eat the stuff. Yeah. Like this is a real situation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I remember going to Toys R Us. Shout out to Toys R Us. Are Toys R Us is closed?
I think they might be.
There might not be a Toys R Us standing, but we went to Toys R Us and, you know, I remember my mom, we got to the register and my mom was like, I need you to wait over here on this bench. And I was like, why would I need to wait over here on this, like all the way over here on this bench, mom? Like, of course, weird, because we're inquisitive. So at this point, I'm like, I feel like I'm probably like 5 or 6, maybe 7, if that. And yeah, I remember I clearly looked at her in the checkout aisle with the Easy Bake Oven in the cart. And it was at that moment, I'm like, damn, she really thinks I'm really gullible. Like, damn, being a kid is something else, because that moment of realization, that moment where it snaps and you're like, you must take me for a goddamn fool. Like, with that, that's like a pivotal moment of your childhood innocence, like you're losing your innocence.
And then you realize, and like, so, everybody been lying to you. Like, it's not even just your mom. Like, everybody been, and how many things has Santa got you to do? Like, oh, you better make your bed because Santa's not gonna bring it. Like, that was the mean discipline
the
strategy.
Christmas, like, list, it's ingrained in the songs. It's really like, it's a little fucked up. Mm-hmm. But you know, I got the Easy Bake Oven under the tree, and it was at that moment I knew that mom was Santa Claus, and that was that, and there was nothing said about it. I just knew. Mm. And there was a moment where it was like the next Christmas, my mom had got me like this big bike. My mom and my dad, they got me this big bike, and I was excited. It was my first like big girl bike. It was big. It was a Duffy. Was it called a Huffy?
It was the Huffies. Yeah, man.
The Huffies. So it was a Huffy. It was green. It was green, which was crazy because at the time, I don't think green was my favorite color, but it ultimately ended up being. And my mom was like, look what Santa brought you. And I just looked at her and I was like, I chuckled a little bit and I was like, cute. And I kept it moving. But yes, Rob, I just wanted to go through our, you know, pivotal moment. because it's like, you know, that's a transition into a different mindset, you know, that awareness. And I just wanted to bring that to the bridge and welcome everybody else back to the bridge for season three. Let's get a little hand clap.
And I want everybody to, because this is going to be hilarious, I want everybody to comment right down below this post when they stop believing in Santa. And the next
episode, we need your origin stories.
Next episode will air the best origin story. Will you
listen? Because it might be a villain. It might be your villain origin story. Like, if you look, first of all, I actually watched a Christmas movie. We're gonna get to that later, but that might be your villain. Or like, you don't know, if you uncover this memory, this might be your villain origin story. This might be where it all went left. So share your story.
I'm like, please. I cannot wait what people have to say when they first stop believing in Santa. But it's interesting because it tends to be a cultural thing as well. Like, some people from different cultures don't even like learn the whole Santa spew.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, in America, in the culture that we live in, and it's so capitalistic, it makes perfect sense that, you know, we're the main ones buying into this Santa shit and telling our kids about Santa and stuff like that. But I do know some like new generation parents who are like, I'm not lying to my kids. Mm. They need to know that I work hard for the things that they get under the tree, and that money doesn't grow on trees. And it definitely doesn't come from a Caucasian man with an ice white beard in some place where he couldn't even virtually do all the things he's doing. Anyway, so moving forward, there's a lot of things that we as a society and the masses believe in. And that's not just like silly things like Santa Claus, but that's like things like people and celebrities and things like that. But I'm going on a tangent, everybody. This is our holiday episode.
We came back during a time.
Yeah, during a good time, though, because holidays for me, you know, my spirits are high. And that's not the same for everybody during the holidays. I know the holidays can be a tough time, especially when you lost loved ones. So we're also thinking of them, but we're lifting them up. OK, we want good spirit, good cheer. We're in the spirit of the bridge right now. We're in the spirit of growth, and we're attacking this adulthood shit. I feel like we're doing it during like maybe possibly the worst recession since the Great Depression. But God damn it, if we ain't gonna come out standing on business, you heard me?
Stand on. I know how to do that in sign language. Stand on business.
Let me find out you learned something new during the break.
Brother.
You gotta have to teach me something. You have to teach me that. Stand on business. Come on, business. And the fact that you know that phrase says everything about you, because one thing I know about Rob is that he stands on business.
That's all for years
before it was popular. So y'all know the boy. But I want to get into some holiday favorites, because this is our holiday episode. And I know for the holidays, for me, there are some things that I must have, things that I must watch, experiences that I have to see and experience. And I want to know what yours are, Rob. And I definitely want to know what yours are at home, homies. Let's go ahead and get into it. Can we do like a quick holiday must-have list? I'm going to ask you some of your favorites, Rob. I know some of them already, but I want you to share with the homies at home, because we're always thinking about something new. So first, must-have movies. What do you have to watch during the holiday season? Like, what is like, I got to watch this before Christmas Day hits or on Christmas Day? Like, what is your main thing? I think one of my first things is the Santa Claus, Tim Allen, the whole series. I don't know, but that touched me as a child. I know you're like, what, Tim Allen? But nah, we were big fans in my household.
Because it wasn't about Santa Claus the Claus. It was about Santa Claus the Claus.
The Claus. And I thought that was so clever. And they took that. They literally did four movies maybe. And now there's a series on Disney Plus. So I want y'all to check that out, because it's literally still going. That's how great it is. Mm. So, you know, critics agree. All right, Rob, what about you?
Is it just movies? You said our thing must have movies.
We're gonna transition into some music as well. But okay, if you so have my, some movies my off
number
the top,
one
yeah.
must have movie has to be Elf. When I tell you that is the funniest thing, I will watch that and really be actually in tears. Like, you would think that somebody's in this house with me. Like, I think that movie is just so funny. It's so awkward. And, like, he's already an awkward actor, comedian. But to put him as a giant around elves, like, when he was... that scene
is genius.
When he was sitting in that... Oh, my God. Like, everything. And then when he had to go find his dad, the narwhal came, "Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad."
I feel like everything Will touches is gold. He's comedic gold, and I don't think he gets his just due, but yeah. He is, for me, like he kind of took over that awkward vibe that Ben Stiller had in the mm-hmm. 90s and in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. He took that and he took it to its own place. I think he's a pioneer in his own right. Yeah. So here for Elf. Yeah. Absolutely. Definitely I would have to put on the list just real quick the Home Alone 1 and 2. Shout out for Macaulay Culkin. He actually just got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And the actress who played or actor who played his mother, Catherine O'Hara, she became an icon through Schitt's Creek as Moira. So I'm actually, my vote is for a Home Alone 5. Is it 5? I feel like there might be 4. Already a Home Alone 4 or 5 that has Macaulay Culkin as the dad. Like I feel like we really need
who should be casted as the son or the daughter.
He should have a couple kids. I think he should have a couple kids. Dang, you know, I really don't be knowing these like little kids names. But I'm always up for new talent. I'm always up for new talent and new blood when it comes True. To kids. I don't really follow, like, you know, because it's like you don't really learn their names until yeah. they're a
if
little bit older.
If we could time travel, I would love Zach and Cody, like when they were little, obviously.
But wait I a felt minute. Like that would be crazy. I love them still. Yeah. I love them still. And by the way, if you are a Zach and Cody fan, you know that, what was it? Their reservation on November 16th, literally just, or 23rd or something like that. There was an episode where they referenced a restaurant they were trying to get into. And she was like, all right, your reservation's ready for November 21st, 2023 or something like that. And that date just passed and the internet went crazy for a day. So shout out to Zach and Cody. I know I'm blowing your mind right now. You know, I keep my ears to these internet streets.
Heard it.
So hell yeah. And then on Christmas Day, I have to watch It's a Wonderful Life. I know it's like hella white, but it really is like that story that is like, you know what I'm saying? He watches his life flash before his eyes and then he becomes so grateful for what he has. And I feel like that's something that like everybody can relate to. So that's why we love. And I feel like also a lot of these traditions were passed down from my mother, who is a baby boomer. And in her day, there were only white people on TV for a long time. So it is what it is. But yeah, any more movies on your list?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Christmas time is like one of my favorite times of year. I definitely put... This Christmas on there with Chris Brown and Everybody's
Absolutely.
Mama. Like that has to go on there.
That's a black classic at this point.
And then I need a fashion movie too, so I gotta have Devil Wears Prada. I just love like New York style fashion in the winter, and any movie that gives that, then that has to be on the Christmas list. And so Devil Wears Prada gotta be there.
Yes, I live for you in that. Speaking of fashion, shout out to our vintage t-shirt moment.
If you
check the fit, I got on a vintage Spice Girls fit. Shout out Nasty Gal. Pay me though, because next time I'm not gonna shout you out. What you got on, Rob?
I got on the Poetic Justice. Shout out to Tupac. out here in these streets. I love this shirt. I was actually going to wear a different Tupac shirt, but I love the font on this. It just kind of gave not only Christmas, but also like retro vibes. So shout out to them.
It was giving. It's giving. Amazing. Along with that, Jingle Jangle. Jingle Jangle, if you haven't seen it, it's a black musical that came out a couple years ago. That shit rocked my world. The wardrobe, the singing. It stars Forest Whitaker, another talented young lady. Such an amazing story. I love that shit. And then on the tip, you just said Devil Wears Prada. Things that aren't Christmas movies, but are to everybody else who are fans. Harry Potter, the entire series, obviously. Big shout out, actually, me and Blake, aka Passport Poppy, we're doing a Gryffindor Christmas, so our whole tree is gonna be Harry Potter. We're DIYing a, listen, don't hate the player, hate the
big
game.
Big green Slytherin stand up. Ain't no party like a Slytherin party. I know you saw the TikToks. I know you saw the memes. What are you saying?
Slytherin, sit down. So we're actually doing a happy Christmas this Christmas, and we got a lot of cute DIY things. We're gonna do some like golden snitches for ornaments and some cool things. So shout out to that real quick. So shout out to the entire Harry Potter series. I also love Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio, because his favorite time was Christmas time as well, and that kind of became a recurring theme in the movie. And then I got some new movies on the list. I mean, there's so many, but we got to close off this little movie section. So do you have any more final movie selections, for the homies out there?
I do like to watch like a culturally black movie, docuseries, documentary, something like that. This year is Chevalier. If you have not seen that, you need to watch it. It's about...
Oh, we loved Chevalier.
Mm-hmm. And you know me. Probably don't notice about me, Shannon, but the sound of the violin makes me cry every time I hear it. Every single time. It sounds like the mix between like a dying voice and an angel. I can't. Especially when it's played slow. Oh my God. So shout out to Chevalier. It'll be my movie for deep shit this holiday season.
I love Chevalier, and I don't know about, you know, the violin making me cry, but I have been known to cry over a fine-ass man, such as the one who plays the lead in Chevalier. So whatever your fancy is, whether it's music, looking upon beautiful specimens created in the image, the Chevalier is a great choice, so I second that. And I got some new choices for you. You got Dashing Through the Snow, that is on Disney Plus with Lil Rel Howery and Ludacris. It's actually really cute. Like, Ludacris is giving his regular dad vibe, and it's very believable. And Lil Rel Howery as Santa Claus, I don't know, but it works. And that's, he's so jolly, hilarious. And he's amazing. No, he's so good. Like, and that's the thing. There were some people who were saying like, oh, Ludacris wasn't like, you know, how was he the star? Da, da, da. I'm like, yo, the star of every Christmas movie is Santa Claus. So as long as they cast the Santa Claus right, that's all we care about. So shout out to Lil Rel. He did his motherfucking thing. So check out Dashing Through the Snow, and check out Violent Night. It came out last year, but Santa is fucking up everybody, and he was like an assassin in another life. So that's an interesting twist on it. It's very gory. So yeah, let's go to music, because I know you got some music, some Christmas music that you love. And we got some new shit too.
Okay.
So Christmas music, let's go. What's on your Christmas playlist this
How much time year? We got? Because
you already know. We can take the time if you'd like. So
first and foremost, Bryson Tiller, A Different Christmas, that entire album, track for track, on repeat at least twice.
I knew that was going to be your number one, but that's on my list. On my list too.
Number two album, A LaFace Christmas. There's nothing else. You need that. You need to be listening to a LaFace Christmas. LaFace Records, TLC. We got A Few Good Men. It was crazy. Boyz II Men. You got to listen to that. And then number three, Destiny's Child, 8 Days of Christmas.
Okay, I can dig that, and I respect all of your choices. That's a quality. This man knows quality music.
Every
I'm
year.
Just gonna add a couple things. I'm just gonna add a couple things to that. So, along with Bryson Tiller and Different Christmas, which is also on my list, I'm going to add on their Brandy's Christmas with Brandy that just came out this year. And let me tell you, the vocals do not disappoint. Obviously, she's the vocal Bible, and she's amazing. So please check that out if you want your Christmas to be merry and bright, okay? We're going to go to JoJo now. JoJo has a Christmas album. This is a little known album. It didn't come out this year, but JoJo's always good. So her album is called December Baby. Check that out. She's singing a lot of the classics
JoJo
as well.
JoJo is she's such a vocalist. Like, y'all don't even know.
For all my vocalists out there. For all my vocalists out there, JoJo is where it's at. And then Tinashe. I love Tinashe. You know what? She is a girl that keeps fighting through and through. She's independent. Her Christmas album is called Comfort and Joy. And then we got to throw some throwbacks in there. Kirk Franklin, New Nation. His Christmas is always like... I mean, I just never, I grew up on gospel. So, that's the song that, you know, we dressed the tree in Atlanta with my parents. We dressed the tree to that song, to that whole album. And then Pentatonix. I just love the sound of a cappella group, in front of a Christmas tree. And it's so choral. It reminds you of carolers because people I feel like don't really carol anymore. So get your carol fix with Pentatonix. And, that is it for the Christmas music for me. And yeah, like the last thing that I want to do is a hypothetical Christmas list. If you could have anything, if you could have things that are tangible, things that are not tangible, what would be on your hypothetical Christmas list this year, Robert?
I don't even mean to get deep, but...
Please get deep because I did. So get deep.
If I had a Christmas list that was going to come true, I would remove things from this world.
Let's go. What would you remove?
Guns gotta go. Wars gotta go. I don't even know how Santa would make that happen, but what we got going on overseas is absolutely ridiculous.
You just gotta believe.
I can't. So guns gotta go. War has to go. Racism has to go. Slavery has to have never happened ever. And
so we also need a time machine.
Well, it's Santa. I mean, shit. What that
slave Santa do? Had. I mean, Tim Allen does have a time machine. So I'm just
so
saying.
Tell Tim Allen.
You just gotta believe.
And number five would be radiant health. And I mean that in terms of like nutrition, like everyone should have access to the highest quality nutrition available from birth to death, as
That's
well
beautiful.
As the highest quality workout exercises. There should be nothing about life that cancels out your ability to live in it. So those would be my five things.
Well, damn. I mean, you literally did my list plus 1,000 on your humanitarian shit. Now, I did also wish for some personal shit, but I did wish for world peace. Listen, I'm not going to mince words with you. I wished for world peace. The wars, like I said, gotta go. I wish for the end of racism. So we're really on the same page on a lot of things. And I also wish, honestly, I wish for the obliteration of cash. I would really love if we can go back
Amen.
To like a barter system.
Amen.
A work pay system, because this shit is ridiculous. It is expensive to be alive, like you said, like literally what you said, but in a different way. Like, let's just wipe out cash.
Mm-hmm.
We just wipe it away. You know what I mean?
I was gonna say money.
So
too.
Yeah, fuck money. Fuck
go.
Money.
It
because the only reason why we care, I just finished watching Squid Game, and I'm just gonna say that the person who won, I did not fuck with, but they won being conniving and greedy and backstabbing the people that had their back. And that's just life for you. But they won millions of dollars. So it really just goes to show you like how shit really is. And it pissed me and Blake off. It really did. Because we didn't want this person to win. But that's kind of how the cookie crumbles in some of these games, especially a game that's greedy like that, where you gotta fucking backstab your friends to just win. So yeah, I am going to definitely be asking for a penis with a bow wrapped around it, attached to a fine specimen, emotionally available, preferably stable.
Come on.
Financially stable person, the males, because you got to get specific at this
ready
point.
To commit.
And I know this now, ready to commit to a relationship. That would actually be amazing. And then the cash to fund my next three projects, because you always have to be thinking ahead. Absolutely. But if I obliterate cash, then I'll just have to barter for it. And that's even better. So those are like my hypothetical Christmas list. And that's kind of what we got for the holiday rundown on The Bridge Millennials. By the way, y'all, we changed our name just slightly. So vibe with the new flow of The Bridge Millennials. That's me, that's you, that's us, that's all the homies. So I'm gonna kick it to Rob for our mental health segment.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
All right, so for our mental health segment, I actually want to cover something that I covered on the Group Sessions podcast. There was an episode where I had to kind of get into the whole Lauryn Hill situation, and I did a full breakdown and analysis, as well as a diagnostics, and suggested some treatment interventions for people that are also dealing with this type of thing. Spoiler alert, the problem is not her, it's you. But what I wanted to bring up is this concept of believing in Santa. And Santa is an example of someone that we're in a one-sided relationship with this figure. And there are things that we do to kind of build a closer bond with this figure that we kind of never met and technically may not know we exist. We do the same thing with celebrities. And when we do that with celebrities, they're called parasocial relationships. So part of that is a parasocial interaction. So writing the letter to Santa makes you feel within closer proximity to Santa. And then based off of the feedback that you get about that, or if you find yourself taking the culture of Santa into your house and letting that idea rule how you behave, you are now in a parasocial relationship with Santa. And we do this with other figures, shamelessly, our favorite celebrities. How many of y'all got celebrity booze, celebrity wives? How many of y'all watch reality TV show and you'd be like, I'm just like this person, I'm just like that person? So all of that is a parasocial strategy, as well as when your faves come on stage and they think they're fans, that's them reinforcing that parasocial strategy, because in marketing, that turns into money. So shamelessly, though, we all are victim of parasocial relationships. And to some extent, it makes life a little bit more exciting. So I wanted to talk about our truest, like super fan moment. Like, think back to that time where you was like a super, super, super fan of whoever it was as a child. And you go first.
I was a super fan of, I remember this because this was definitely a moment in time. It was young. I feel like I haven't fanned out like this since. But I was a super fan of B2K. It was an era, in middle school, all the motherfucking girlies. And it was like, who can be more of a super fan? Who is more dedicated? You know what I'm saying? There was one girl in my school who definitely had me beat. She had jerseys. She had all this other shit. She had all of the, Word Up magazines and things, all the newest shit.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Can we take a moment for Word Up magazine though?
Word Up magazine had all the cuties, had all the cuties on.
And
the
they
cover.
Had, oh my God.
Word Everybody. Up magazine. And it was, I mean, it was an issue goddamn almost every week. Like,
and it was.
They were doing it. They were really doing it. But yeah, B2K, I was crazy about them. I know all of their government names, the years they were born, stuff like that. I didn't end up going to the reprise of the Millennial Tour. I did dress somebody for it, but I didn't end up going because it was just obviously a phase and their drama be too much for me as a grown person. And I don't know, like, I want them to be able to get over their trauma, but I also feel like it's still happening. So it's hard to, it be taking me out of it. And the stuff that Bow Wow does, it take, like, for me, the behavior outside of your artistry, it sometimes takes me out of things. And I hate that because as an artist, I'd be, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't feel great about being judged about my behaviors outside of my artistry as well. But I don't know. Sometimes it taints it for me a little bit. Like, if I know if they're disrespectful to women or have abused somebody in the past or something like that, it's tough not to judge. And sometimes I feel like some of that toxicity seeps into the music, as we know, like the case for R. Kelly and Trey Songz and different things. And a lot of these hip hop, you know, the reckoning, and I know we don't want to get too much into that, but the reckoning that's happening in hip hop now, hip hop is having their Me Too movement. A lot of people are uncovering a lot of these, like, you know, rape culture lyrics and stuff like that. So It took me out of it, but I was a huge B2K fan at the time, and I really am still an Omarion fan. That never died. I still follow Omarion. I still love his music, and I still root for him. So yeah, B2K, I was crazy.
Yes. Okay. So mine would have to be Destiny's Child. Obsessed. It was concerning. But I was a child. Like, had I been an adult, it would have not been acceptable. I had to have everything they were on, every photo from the internet that was taken. I had 2 photo albums of just Destiny's Child pictures, like personal photo albums. I had, this sounds really bad. Y'all gotta understand, back in the day, the internet wasn't what it was. So it was really hard to feel close to your fave. Like, a good depiction right. of what it, a good depiction of what it was to like to be a fan is definitely the whole Amanda Show, Amanda Please. Like, that really was us for real. So I had like their, I knew where they were from. I knew their middle names. I knew their birth dates. I knew their parents. I knew their signatures. I had to have every album in duplicates, one to listen to, one to keep up. I had calendars. I had everything. I didn't really have any Destiny's Child clothes. That wasn't really a thing for me. So, but I was very obsessed with Destiny's Child. And when they did Destiny Fulfill, I actually kind of cried a little bit. I don't know if I cried, but I was really mad. And I was mad when they had broke up because LaToya was my favorite. And she still is my favorite. LaToya, if you're listening, call me.
All of them were actually at the London premiere of, I think, Beyonce's movie. The entire group, and actually LaTavia came out, and LaTavia said that she really needed that reunion with Beyonce to like move forward in her life and to have that I guess clearing the air moment and that closure. Mm-hmm. So I think that's beautiful, even, you know, 15, 20 some odd years later. So shout out to them. I actually had a huge Destiny's Child phase as well. Ooh, I was really into them around the time that before Beyonce came out, and I was obviously by association a huge fan of Beyonce, a huge fan of Kelly when they came out with their shit. And Destiny Fulfilled, I mean, like, there's so many classics on there. So many vocal moments that are, like, amazing. So many moments for Michelle Williams that, you know, solidify her place as an icon and her place in the group. So, we love that. Amazing. Yeah, super fan moment. Definitely, for sure. I try not to do it so much. But I really am a super fan of Rihanna as well, just because her bossness, her style, her swag, her ease, and the way that she navigates the world with just realness and authenticity is just the most beautiful thing. So I do be still fans and standing for her. There's like not much she can do that I don't fuck with. And now she's a mom and there's even more to look up to. So, yeah.
All right, well.
And she's a billionaire, so shit.
Yeah, that too.
They just put her number 72 on the female Forbes list, and I was a little pissed because I'm like, she's literally like the only billionaire on this list. Why would she be number 72? But moving forward.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's what I have for mental health and society. Oh, Lord, it's been a while, Shan. It's not called that anymore. Thank you for sharing. That's what I have for the mental health sessions. That's it. It's just the mental health sessions.
Mental health sessions.
Mm-hmm. What we got for Red Light District, though? That's what the people were waiting for.
I want to be touched and feel it so much because everybody needs some good loving.
Well, for Red Light District, I thought this was so interesting. I always like to keep this true to life because I am single. And I believe that you too, last time I checked, are single. We might have to give a little update on that. But I'm single as a dollar bill. And I don't know. I like to keep it like real and authentic. And I feel like during the holidays, like it's officially like cuddling, bunned up, cuffing season. It is cuffing season. And I know there are a lot of people out there like, really, I don't know, getting a little antsy. So this segment, it's called Shoot Your Shot. Okay, shoot your shot. And you know, we're gonna, you're right, exactly, shoot your shot. So we're gonna get to that. But you know, over the holidays, there's lots of indulging, right? You know, you end up indulging, you might end up sending a text to that ex. Now I don't do that shit, but I'm just, and y'all shouldn't either, but if you do, there's no shame, because there's gonna be a lot of that this holiday season. You know, a lot of people give you the happy Christmas, hey, merry Christmas. Head. It'd be merrier if you were here. My mom miss you, you know, that shit, that type of shit. But not that energy is definitely, my mom says, hey, my mom still love you, you still her favorite, like shit.
Oh,
like that.
Oh my God.
But today I want to ultimately chat about shooting your shot. Like, all my single homies, do you do it? Do you shoot your shot? Have you messaged first on a dating app? Have you crawled? Have you ran? Have you hopped into somebody's DMs? And what sparked this was I actually read an article. I be deep in articles. I love to read y'all. But I read an article on XO Nicole, and it was entitled, it was so interesting. It was entitled, I Tried Sliding in My Crush's DMs and I'll Never Initiate a Romantic Connection Again by Fawn Stone. And so, you know, I read it and I actually really, like, I really related to it, like, today in today's dating climate. Mm-hmm. It has been very difficult. And, you know, sometimes you get on an app, you match with somebody, nothing happens. Nothing moves forward, nothing comes of it. And I find that I'm not afraid to be assertive, but I do feel like sometimes, in my situation, I guess, as a like cis hetero presenting female, or, you know, at least somebody who dates men predominantly, it can be difficult being a woman making the first move, because it seems like they don't take you seriously when you do that. So I absolutely kind of really related with her, and I feel like I really am done like doing the first attempt at conversation, being that person who's going to be forward, at least on the internet. So I wanted to know, Rob, do you make it a practice to shoot your shot, like via DMs, via the internet, like somebody you really like how do you approach that situation?
Definitely. I am a go-getter. I'm not a quitter, so if I see something I want, I'm gonna go after it. How I approach it does depend on like where we are on the internet. If it's like a dating app, I'm also a perfect gentleman when I approach people. So it helps that I'm not like,
ooh,
you know what I mean?
I'm very
classy. I'm very much very chivalrous. I like to get to know you. Can I buy you a drink? I'm very much I'm forward, but also kind. I don't give like the cheesy stuff. I definitely will offer a compliment, whatever it stood out. If you had a nice smile, if I liked what you said about certain things, I like the way that you think. I will say those things, and I would be very straightforward in saying I would like to get to know you better. If we are in person, I will probably depend if we're in like a person, like if it's already a flirt, I have to one up whatever's happening. Like, so I gotta stand out. So if we're in a flirtatious type environment or like something like that, then I'm probably gonna walk up and like kiss your hand and then introduce myself. If we're in a space where it's more classy and it's like a dining situation, then I will send a drink to you. Things like that. So I'm very like romance movie chivalry. So I don't ever feel uncomfortable when it's time to approach anyone, because I know that generally people will be receptive to that. And that's how I do mine. What about you?
First of all, are y'all my gentlemen out there? Are y'all taking notes? Because I feel like the answer is so simple when you lead with romance, when you lead with what you know people will appreciate and respond to. I think that is so important. And I, in watching this crazy thing about cults today, I have a thing with cults. You know, I realized that human connection is such a powerful thing that, you know, a lot of people believe it to be spiritual, and so much so that you can really manipulate people if you have, you know, if you're charming, if you have that connection with them, if you can meet them where they are with so much love and so much warmth, people respond to that like they respond to religion. So I think it's such a beautiful thing when you can see that. Obviously, that's what works. Now, personally for me, on the internet, it's been a little strange, but I am somebody who, when you feel my energy in person, it is a different thing. I do believe myself to be charming. If y'all listened to the season, last season and the season before that, you already know Owade pulled my whole chart. So I do find myself to be charming. And if I find there's a connection, if I think you're cute, I will definitely flirt. No hesitation. I will flash you the pearly whites. Okay. I love to flash the pearly whites. I keep my toothbrush on polish. They'll be blinging. So I like to do that. I like to, I'll definitely give you, you know, some affectionate touch. I might touch your shoulder or something like that if I'm really into it. But I will shoot my shot in person in half. I have no qualms doing that, just because also I'm a performer. So if I need to turn it on, I can definitely turn it on. I just think online, it's a little bit different because you're not able to get the essence of a person. And then you have like guys who have all these ridiculous things in their bios, like, don't message me if we're not going to go out on a date. Don't message me. It's like, first of all, how do you know we even going to make it that far? Like, I might not, can't stand you. Like,
that
I might.
That communicates so much insecurity, and
that's what I'm saying. It's so unattractive. It's like, what? These are the type of people that we're dealing with. And I watched something today that basically the guy was saying, you know, when you go to dating apps, you're sifting through people who want to find a quick way to meet somebody. So that already tells you that they're not in it for the long haul, that they're not really invested. And I don't want to say that's 100% true, because I go to the dating apps hoping for a lasting connection, but really expecting nothing. So I don't lead with expectation, because it's just like, you know, whatever. If there's quality on here, great. If there's somebody who meets my preferences, great. But more often than not, it's kind of a wash. But I do think that if the moment feels right, I think you should shoot your shot. But I do think that shooting your shot is so much easier when you've had an in-person connection with somebody first, because I think that reading those in-person signals, aside from having like deep, you know, thoughtful, meaningful conversations, reading those chemistry signs and those emotions and neurons and different stuff and all those hormones firing and shit. I think that also, you know, it, you know, I think it could sway something differently than online. Like, I feel like there might be people that I meet online that I never give a chance to date in real life because their energy is just not, you know. So ultimately, I would say definitely shoot your shot.
It's giving ideas. How would you feel if we did a Bridge Millennials collaboration with the group sessions and we go down, like, we create like a user manual on how to get someone to fall in love with you?
Here we go with this.
Back in the day, like, my, y'all seen the movie Hitch? When I was in high school, that's who I wanted.
That's like one of your favorite movies. Yeah, that's like one of your favorite movies.
That was my entire career. So I went on to have an advice column. I had an advice column, and it was broken down with evidence-based advice on researched sex, romance, attraction, and parenting. And it was all about love connections. And I've had some people follow my advice and reap some benefits. So it would be interesting have, like, the... If we do it once a year, like an annual bridge, like, I don't know, like a bridge advice column, one episode once a year. You know what I mean?
We could probably. That could easily be our Valentine's Day episode. You know, give it. Because honestly, I'm a serial monogamist, so I definitely have a little bit to say in that aspect, in kind of like real life experience. And I know you absolutely have the science to back it up as well. So I think that could be a beautiful conversation. Let us know, homies, would you like to hear that for Valentine's Day? Just kind of like a how to make a guy fall in love with you, how to make a woman fall in love with you, how to make a person fall in love with you. I mean, how to make a soul fall in love with you, how to join two souls, whatever it might be.
Wait, we not marrying nobody. Wait a minute.
I said join two souls because two souls is one of the LGBTQ. It's like LGBTQ.
Wait, this is
LGBTQ.
What movie is this?
IA+2S.
What
two
movie
souls.
Is this? Tonight is the night where to become
one. Yeah.
That's a Spice Girls movie.
I know that's a Spice Girls song, but I feel like somebody else quoted it. No, that was the same movie. but yeah, two souls. Okay, two souls are one of the, like, it's part of the Rainbow Coalition. So yeah, whatever we're doing, let us know if you would like us to do that. And I feel like that's it for this episode. It was amazing to be back. It feels great. It feels like we're in a rhythm. We're in a vibe. We're definitely vibing this season. It's amethyst, it's purple, it's indigo, it's all of that. And it's the Bridge Millennials, bitch. So take us out, Rob.
Ain't nothing else to be said. Just press the button. Fuck you mean. Let me stop. Make sure that you hit us up on our new Instagram, The Bridge Millennials. That's with an S. Find us on all streaming platforms. Look up The Bridge Millennials. That's with an S. And hit us up on our website, thebridgemillennials.com. And you know what that is with. It's with an S. And yeah, we be around. Check out Shan's page. See what she's up to. Because she be out here making moves. She will be found at I Am Shannon Ashlia. That is Ashlia. A-S-H-L-I-A. Yes. Get it right. And you can find me at Robert St. Michael. Make sure you spell the whole thing out. S-A-I-N-T Michael. And yeah, we're going to be around. I'm really excited. Thank y'all for rocking with us for 3 years. This is our third season. And
season three, junior year, baby. Junior year.
I'm just,
that's when,
like,
you start feeling your shit.
Yeah.
That's when the nuts drop. That's when the titties start really jiggling.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's when you go from the backpack to the purse. Like, you know what I mean? So
that's when you go from the training bra to the bra.
For real. Right. So we outside. But thank y'all for rocking with us, and we will catch y'all in the next episode.
I love y'all, and also free the nipple. We'll see y'all next time.